May it please the court.
Sir.
Good morning. My name is, as I said, my name is Taylor Fields, and I represent the appellate interveners in this appeal. This proceeding presents several questions for the court. First, whether the circuit court should have removed the proposed local minimum wage ordinance from the November 2015 ballot on the grounds that the ordinance is unconstitutional on its face.
Mr. Fields, could I get you to move the microphone? Normally we want to point right at you, but it's echoing a little bit. If you could just lower it just slightly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jan. In concluding that the proposed ordinance should be removed from the ballot, the circuit court relied solely on two statutes, Section 67-1571 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri and House Bill 722, now codified as 285.055. It is the appellant's position that both statutes are unconstitutional. House Bill 722 is in violation of Article 3, Section 23, because it contains multiple subjects in violation of the Hammerschmidt rule. In Hammerschmidt versus Boone County, 877 Southwestern 2nd, 98.
Now, at what point should the court be involved in determining a statute to be unconstitutional and wholly we at times we wait till the statute, if it's passed by legislature, is passed before someone brings forward a constitutional challenge. We don't take it off the ballot, or we don't take it off the books just because the legislature passes it. Where is it appropriate for the court to intervene as far as declaring a statute unconstitutional before it's even voted on?
Thank you for the question, Your Honor. In this particular instance, the question is right, I think, for determination. I think the issues were framed once the party, appellants raised the question of the constitutionality of House Bill 722 in its affirmative defense. And once the court has ruled and had an opportunity to consider that question, then I think it is right for the court to intervene and decide the constitutionality of that statute once it's been framed.
Was the affirmative defense sufficient? It said interveners contend that House Bill 722, the justification for the instant filing, is unconstitutional. It doesn't say under what provision, under what constitutional provision it's improper and so forth. Is that adequate to raise that issue?
Thank you for the question, Your Honor. I think in order to respond to that question, some context is appropriate. On September the 16th, the legislature overrode the governor's veto. And then the Board of Election Commissioners then advised the city of Kansas City that they could not remove the ordinance from the ballot unless there was a court order. 2 days later, and I want to emphasize the fact that this was an expedited hearing. 2 days later, the city of Kansas City filed its petition seeking to have it the ordinance removed on the grounds that HB 722 prohibited it. The interveners were not a part, parties to the action and had not been served. So the interveners on the following Monday filed the motion to intervene, and at that time also filed an answer asserting that House Bill 722 was unconstitutional. It's important to note that on the following day, September 22nd, that was the day that the circuit court lost jurisdiction to remove the matter from the ballot. So there was not an opportunity to brief that question. But early on in oral argument, the appellants raised the question of the constitutionality of 67-1571 as well as House Bill 722 on the grounds that they were violated of Hammerschmidt. And of course we know that Hammerschmidt opined only on Article 3, Section 23. That was the only constitutional provision that would have been in question.
Counsel, your position in the trial court, as I understand it, is that the question of the constitutionality of the House bill should be deferred until after the election and then raised and litigated if and only if the voters had approved the measure.
Well, we felt that it was right, it would be right at that time, but once the court ruled that it should be removed from the ballot, the only opportunity that we had to raise the constitutionality of it would be to appeal from that decision, because that was the basis of our defense. Our defense was House Bill 722 and 1571 were both unconstitutional. So that was the first opportunity after that ruling to continue to pursue the constitutionality of those two statutes.
Did the trial court rule expressly on the constitutionality of those two statutes?
Well, what we believe is that inasmuch as those issues, the issue of the constitutionality of HB 722 and 1571 were the only, on the basis of Article 3, Section 23, that was the only issue in front of the court. And so our position was that in order for the court to conclude that the ordinance was unconstitutional, a part of the calculus of that court's determination had to be that those two statutes were constitutional.
So she did not expressly say she found they were constitutional. That would be inherent in the ruling.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that issue was raised before she ruled, because I saw it was raised in the motion for new trial or reconsideration.
Yes.
But it was also raised before she ruled?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. And in the motion for reconsideration and for a new trial, Article 3, Section 23 and Article 3, Section 21 were discussed at length.
But what about before she ruled?
Before she ruled, it was in oral argument. Again,
okay.
Not in
the briefing, but in oral argument. Okay.
Yes,
that's
yes.
I couldn't find it in the briefing. Okay.
Again, this was an expedited hearing. The city requested an expedited hearing. And so we answered on the 21st of September, and the argument was the following day. There was not an opportunity to go through an extensive briefing on that issue. But actually, the only time that we really had to brief that issue thoroughly was after the court had filed that ruling. But nevertheless,
doesn't that alone suggest that these matters should be litigated after the election?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor.
Why shouldn't you have to? General rules of constitutional preservation are you cite the article and section that you suggest that something violated, so that the trial court's put on notice. Of the ruling.
Well, thank you for that question, Your Honor. The oral argument was conducted on September 22nd, and of course that was the second opportunity that we had to raise the constitutionality issues. Early in that argument, the appellants raised the question whether 1571 and House Bill 722 were constitutionally defective and the subject to the single subject defect, the Hammersmith challenge. Most and almost all of that argument was devoted to the discussion of the constitutionality of both of those statutes. And with regard to Article 3, Section 23 challenges to those statutes, the court asked the following question. Counsel, and you think it fits squarely into the single subject rule? And that's found in the transcript at page 27. And at an earlier point in the argument, the court asked the question, and do you have the same challenge that you would have under House Bill 722? And the court also later in the argument asked the respondents, so is your position you don't have the same challenge with House Bill 722 versus the statutory provision, meaning referring to 1571? And the respondent answered yes to that question. So I don't think that it can be reasonably argued that the court did not understand that the challenge to House Bill 722 and 1571 was on the basis of Article 3, Section 23.
Well, then equally to the point, when the trial court does refuse to put something on the ballot, then there is no election, so you can't bring it up after the election. So this is your only opportunity.
That's correct.
To raise an issue. If we said you have to wait till there's an election, we'd be saying it's not reviewable, where the court rejects putting the matter on the ballot.
That's correct, Your Honor. Yes, that's.
You may want to step back just a little, or Lori, you
I'm
may
going
want
to
turn it down,
Marshall.
One.
Or Lori, can you turn
just
it
turn
down?
Just turn it down one.
Line. Marshall, Dwight,
sir.
And by we didn't. This is all new for us. It's redecorated the place, so it's not you. It's we're trying to work out the kinks.
On that point, Your Honor, I think it's clear that there are four things that have to happen if you're going to raise a constitutional issue. First of all, as the court well knows, you have to raise that issue at the first opportunity. We thought we did that on the first day and the only day that we had an opportunity to raise it, and that was in our answer with an affirmative defense. And second, and as I think as the court is alluding to, we have to state with specificity the constitutional provision on which the challenge rests. And to that point, again, the only issue that was being discussed, the only constitutional issue that was being discussed was Article 3, Section 23. Because Hammerschmidt, we referred to Hammerschmidt throughout the transcript, obviously that's the only constitutional issue on which the court opined in that particular case. So it would be the only issue that would be discussed with the court. And then third, we have to set forth facts showing why we believe House Bill 722 and 1571 are in fact unconstitutional. And finally, as the court has mentioned, to preserve that issue throughout the proceedings. And we thought that we did that over that 3-day period.
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
May it please the court?
Certainly.
Your Honors, the appellants never asked the trial court for a ruling that either House Bill 722 or 671571 was unconstitutional. They argued that before they could challenge House Bill 722, the court first had to order an election on their ordinance and the voters had to approve it. They argued that those were necessary first steps before they could ever raise the constitutional challenge to House Bill 722.
But they indicated they raised it in their answer. Isn't that the earliest opportunity?
They did have an affirmative defense in their answer that House Bill 722 was unconstitutional. They didn't cite to a specific constitutional provision. But once we got to court, they argued that before they could raise that, which they would have to do in a subsequent proceeding, the trial court first had to order our ordinance to be placed on the ballot, and the voters had to approve it.
But did they also argue Hammerschmidt? And so they did
yes.
argue it in the alternative.
Well, they argued Hammerschmidt. I didn't understand that to be argued in the alternative. For example, when we were at the hearing, they argued that they said interveners can only challenge the constitutionality of the statutes if we have an election on the ordinance and the electorate of Kansas City votes to pass that minimum wage. Then the issue becomes ripe. That is essentially what we are saying.
And why isn't that correct under the Dahl case that they cited, where this court said we're not going to entertain pre-election challenges to ordinances that are proposed by initiative?
Well, the general rule is that pre-election review is disfavored. However, even in the Dahl case, the court recognized that there are exceptions to that rule, that if an ordinance is unconstitutional on its face, that the city will not be required to have an election on that. And Hazelwood, I think, is directly on point here. The Hazelwood case involved an ordinance that the court found was unconstitutional on its face because It was in direct conflict with a state statute, just like this proposal is here.
Why was this removed from the ballot? Why did the trial court remove it from the ballot?
Because she agreed that it was in direct conflict with.
And therefore, why couldn't something that was in direct conflict be on the ballot? Is it because that would be unconstitutional?
Well, it's because we don't have a duty to place an ordinance that is expressly prohibited by a state statute on the ballot under Hazelwood and Noel and even under Dahl.
But the point is, didn't the court have to rule on a constitutional ground to remove it, finding there's a conflict and a supremacy kind of a preemption ground?
I think that my understanding of what the trial court did is that she was operating under the general presumption that the statutes are constitutional. I don't know that she actually engaged in an analysis, in a Hammerschmidt analysis.
This is kind of an odd procedural posture for everybody to be arguing, but in effect, did she rule on the constitutionality prior to the election by taking it off the ballot, and is that appropriate under the principles that Judge Wilson was just talking about in your opposing counsel?
Did she rule on the constitutionality of the proposed?
What other basis would she have taken it off the ballot?
Of the ordinance, not the statute.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Of the ordinance. Thank you.
I believe that she looked at the express preemption in both House Bill 722 and 671571, which the city did not raise. However, the interveners brought that up.
How can they get that reviewed? How can interveners get that ruling reviewed on the merits?
The ruling that their proposal is unconstitutional?
Yes.
I think they're getting that reviewed here today.
And the way that's being reviewed, is we have to look at 722, don't we? I'm just trying to figure out how we do it without looking at the constitutionality of 722. How do we review whether or not the trial court properly took it off the ballot? There may be a good answer to that, but I'm not clear.
I think under Hazelwood and Noel, I think you look at the express prohibition in both House Bill 722 and 671571, and you look at the ordinance, and in this case, the ordinance requires exactly what is prohibited by House Bill 722, now 235-0285-055.
But you have to give House Bill 722 effect to reach that conclusion.
Correct, yes.
And so it would, the trial court was treating one of the statutory provisions as valid to give them effect.
Yes, but I think she was operating under the presumption that the statutes are constitutional.
Because they challenged House Bill 722. Did they also challenge the validity of Section 67.1571?
No, I mean, the city didn't have that in our petition, so that wasn't part of their answer. They raised that in the trial court. I think they were essentially trying to argue that, look, the city was willing to place its compromise ordinance on the ballot despite 67-1571. Why shouldn't they put our proposal on the ballot as well? So that came up for the first time at the hearing.
So what is it your position this court should do in this case?
Well, the city's position would be that it was not error for the trial court to deny their request to hold an election on an ordinance that is clearly unconstitutional, just so that they can then challenge the constitutionality of these statutes in a subsequent proceeding. And that's, the judgment should be upheld.
I thought your position was we probably don't have jurisdiction because the issue of constitutionality was never addressed or raised.
Well, correct. I mean, if the only question is, and I believe it, the only question is, does the proposed ordinance conflict with two state laws? And I believe it does. Then it really belongs under the Chastain case. It belongs in the jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals.
So there would be no mechanism for, if in fact 722 were unconstitutional, there'd be no way for them to get this court to look at this in light of the court's taking it off the ballot.
Correct. I mean, I don't think they raised that issue in the trial court, so I think it's difficult to say that the trial court is an error for not reaching an issue that they expressly told her she couldn't. I mean, that was their position. They said it multiple times.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to emphasize that the city of Kansas City strongly supports an increase in the minimum wage. After months of negotiating with the interveners, with other advocates, and with opponents, the city council did pass a compromise ordinance in last July that would have raised the minimum wage to $13 an hour by 2020. The city's proposal would have gone into effect prior to the August 28th deadline established by House Bill 722 were it not for a referendum petition that prevented it from ever going into effect. Unfortunately, the state legislature has spoken. We do not have the authority to pass the ordinance. We cannot be required to put an ordinance before the voters that is expressly prohibited by state law. That is the reason that we ask that it be taken off the ballot. It is not because we recognize the merits of the proposed ordinance. The City Council strongly agrees with what they are trying to accomplish. The fact that we ask that it be removed from the ballot is simply a recognition of what we can and cannot do under the law. That is all I have, unless there are additional questions.
Thank you. I think if you put it lower instead of off to the side, Crystal, can you put it lower away from?
I did want to go back to a point that council mentioned, and that is that with regard to 1571, both parties took the position in the hearing that was unconstitutional. But it's important to note that the city, in spite of that, and in the face of that, they passed an ordinance, as council mentioned, that was slightly different from the ordinance that the interveners had in their petition. The only difference being the interveners had a $15 an hour maximum, and the city had a $13 an hour maximum, and a shorter time period within which to reach it. So both parties in that hearing took the position that 1571 was unconstitutional.
So there was extensive discussion and debate on those issues during the hearing.
Yes, Your Honor, and that was one of the puzzling things that puzzled the judge. And when she asked the question, "Well, I don't understand," she said to the city, "She didn't understand. Well, why didn't you raise the constitutionality of question?" Earlier, when you had the opportunity to do it, when the petition was filed, why didn't you raise it then? Well, because the city itself had a minimum wage ordinance that they had passed, and as council mentioned, that was delayed because of the referendum. So I just want to put to bed the question of where the parties are on 67-1571. Both felt that was unconstitutional. Where our views diverged is on the question of House Bill 722. We felt that the same constitutional challenges that were appropriate to 67-1571 were also appropriate with respect to House Bill 722. And actually, when you stop to think about it, this is the only opportunity that we would have to actually challenge the constitutionality of that House bill, which we believe is subject to the same defects. And what we would ask the court to do
Ms. Baxter said that you told not you personally, but your party told the trial court three times that that she couldn't reach the issue of the constitutionality of House Bill 722. Will the record show that?
No, I don't think so. I think the record shows that the focus of our argument was the unconstitutionality of both of those statutes. That's our defense to why.
Well, what did you say she couldn't reach? Because you did, I think, were you telling her she wasn't supposed to reach the constitutionality of the ordinance until it was voted on? Or what did you say? Because you did make argument that certain things could not be reached till later.
Right. Well, I made the point that if it was left on the ballot and if the citizens voted down, that would be the end of the question. But if the citizens voted for the ordinance in the election, then that would be that opportunity to it would certainly be challenged. It would be the opportunity to challenge the constitutionality of it, and I think that it would be ripe at that point. And I still think
it's the constitutionality of the ordinance that you said was not ripe until after the election.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that was a point at which it would be right.
Right.
Well, that's why we asserted the affirmative defense to argue it in this matter at that time.
Now, you only mentioned one of the bills in your affirmative defense.
Because that was a great point. That's because that was the basis on which the city was seeking to have it removed. Uh-huh. That was in their petition. It was House Bill 722. They never mentioned 1571. The first opportunity that we had to raise that, we saw that, was in the oral argument, and that's when we raised it for the first time.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
All right, thank
for
you.
Your argument. The case will be submitted.